You're listening to Free Indeed Radio, the podcast from Free Indeed Ministries.
Free Indeed Radio is a place for all who struggle to reconcile same-sex attraction and a relationship with God. Our goal is not to condemn, shame, fear, or judge your life or lifestyle, but to bring same-sex attraction and sexual identity into spiritual light through the Word of Jesus Christ, while equipping you to love your neighbor and yourself. Today on Free Indeed Radio,
the number one goal that somebody should remember when they're ministering to those in same-sex attraction is you are not out to change who they are.
Right, right.
Especially not in this first conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Or even in the first, in the deepest parts of your relationship, we are never called to change anybody.
And now, here are your hosts, Brandon and John.
Okay. Well, here we go with podcast number one for Free Indeed Ministries on
what not to say
and how not to say it.
Right. So it's Brandon and John, and we are
Free Indeed Ministries.
Free Indeed Ministries. So let's talk about those things, Brandon. So okay. Whatever comes to mind, ask me about them. And, you know, maybe we'll go a little bit off. Maybe we'll go here and there. We'll kind of mix the maybe what to say with the what not to say. Mm-hmm. So we keep those ideas together, kind mm-hmm. of like God does in the Bible. Whatever he takes away, he gives us something better.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can help you with hearing those things and, well, let us know if it didn't work.
Okay. So most of the people who we talk to obviously want to know two things, and that is the first one being what causes it. So is that something that we can address in our first conversation or in a relative conversation? You know, if somebody were to want to know that, should they ask about that from the person? Like, what caused you to be this way?
Yeah, that's a good question, because our nature is to want to know why or mm-hmm. what and figure out causation. And, you know, I think it's probably not a good question because it immediately puts the person who's come to trust you on the defensive, you know, and it asks the question, really what you're asking is, well, let's figure out what's wrong with you, and then I'll love you from there. So I don't mm-hmm. think that's a good question. In fact, I don't think it's even a good topic until you really know the person and they feel like they can explain something to you about them that's really deep, and that you will actually receive it, not mm-hmm. just receive it externally, but be able to bring it into your own self and almost feel that emotion.
Mm-hmm. And because especially we at Free Indeed don't believe that there's one specific cause that goes across right. the board. It's moreover, right. like if we were trying to get to the east, to one specific point on the east coast from here in Oregon, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of roads that lead across the U.S. to lead to West Point Academy in Virginia.
Right.
And so there's not one specific way to get there, but there's many, many different overlaying factors that play into that, so mm-hmm. it's unfair for somebody to sure. play into that, especially in the first stages of your relationship.
Yeah. And like we've talked about, when you get there, there's different ways of being there.
Because mm-hmm.
there's different levels of what people are feeling or what they know they're feeling or comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you're trying to reach out, obviously, and it's meant to be in love. But what it does is, again, it builds defenses because you're trying to get it to the heart of the matter, as if it's going to change in one conversation. And that's a dangerous place to be. So yeah. Let's not do that. Let's not ask that question.
The number one goal that somebody should remember when they're ministering to those in same-sex attraction is you are not out to change who they are.
Right, right.
Especially not in this first conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Or even in the first, in the deepest parts of your relationship, we are never called to change anybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's always remember that grace is up to, it comes from God alone,
mm-hmm.
and he alone makes the change. He alone draws us to him. So it's our job to just be loving and be friendly and be warm. And if you decide to take them on as your friend, you know, you got to remember that life takes a lifetime to live. Mm-hmm. You can't say that you care about somebody and bring them in as your, quote, friend, and then only have 6 months in your head to get through to them, or else you move on. Right. Well, they haven't changed in the time frame that I think they should have, and that by the questions that I asked. So there's nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. So what have you done? Again, you've asked the question. You've said, now what's wrong with you to start? And then you put a time frame on it. And then once again, you've done what they've already expected you to do, which is to reject them or walk away or just kind of drift away.
Which is something that is important to keep in mind, is that your average person who is in the gay lifestyle who is talking to you about this expects rejection at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Brandon, that's a good point.
And your average person who is dealing with this issue is being pounded by the church and rejected by the gay community, or on the verge of being accepted into their own death by the gay community. Right. So your goal in ministering to this person is not to change them. It's not to condemn them away from God, and it's not to accept them into their own death. It's to, right. and by accept them into their own death, we mean encourage them to go into the gay lifestyle both feet first. And
yeah.
Which comes along to the second question that people ask the most often is, can they change?
Yeah.
Can they change? Not even so much should we expect change, but can they change, and do you see change?
Yeah, that's not a good question to ask. Can you change? Because you're then, again, you've taken your friendship and now you've put it to a works mentality.
You've put conditions on it.
You put a huge condition. Everything, this is a four-legged chair sitting on, you know, angel hair pasta. And if I answer it wrong, it's going to crumble. So yeah, that's not a good question or a good way to approach the question or the person.
Right.
So can you change?
Yeah, it's not, definitely is not the focus of a relationship in the first place. When you want to know somebody, and when you enter into any kind of a relationship with them, a friendship, dating relationship, whoever it is, whatever your heart is led to do for that person, or whatever you are wanting, however deep you're deciding to take it, it's never about, at least in a God way, it's never about how can you satisfy my expectations of you.
Right. And I think we should point out right away that the conversation that we're going to have today, that we're having today, is when you're really working with, let's say, someone who is either in the faith or really wants to be. I think it's more going to be people who are people of faith, who do have a relationship with Christ and have come to say something about their same-sex attraction or the fact that they identify with being gay and what we're going to do for that person. I think you can translate this to somebody who is not someone who believes, who just simply has rejected the message of Christ because they only know the church through the media sense, if you will, you know, the hatred and all that. So they've gone big and gone gay, and they're not going to come around to what you have to say. So I think that if you remember that while you're listening to this, this is for people of faith, talking to people of faith, and we kind of take it from there.
We'll cover how to display Christ-like love to those who are not in the faith, who are in this emotional issue and later episodes and later podcasts.
Yeah, I think we need to.
Which is definitely important, and that you as a listener need to hear and need to understand if you don't understand already, because it will make you a more effective minister to the hearts of the broken, and it will make you a more effective light in this world, shining the light of Christ even brighter.
Right. So let's start in a little bit more then from the point of grace. Always remember that all questions should come from the point of grace. How would Christ approach the person? What would he say? What would he do? And of course, he would do it perfectly. But you have the Holy Spirit with you, and he will direct you and give you the words. I would say, Brandon, one of the most popular questions that I received when people found out that I, you know, had returned to my first love, which was Jesus, was to say, well, has God told you to get out of that lifestyle?
Right.
And you
can, and how was that met? How was that met emotionally?
Well, you can imagine that it sounds like a nice question because it seems like just the Christianly thing to ask, but it was a condemning question because all they did, I told them about getting back with Christ and that how he drew me back to himself. And yet they wanted to know about whether or not he called me to stop sleeping with men.
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with what Jesus just, I just told you, the witness of God himself, and you're concerned about the sin pattern?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very bad question. It's a very negative question. It's an insinuation. And it also means that I have to perform for you and give you the right answer, because I can assure you
before
guys,
you can receive acceptance from them.
By them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I can assure you the answer you're going to get is, oh, yeah, yeah, he's working with me, or some blow you off kind of answer to get off that topic. It's not a good question. It's one to avoid.
Okay. What was something else that you often heard returning back into the church?
Well, people want to know how long ago you stopped doing that behavior.
Mm.
And that, too, is one of those condemning kind of things. That takes a relationship with the person to really ask that and to get an honest answer.
Well, or even something that's even less intense but still on the same level. Like, when was the last time you thought lustfully about a woman?
Right. Well, it puts you in a position where it's only about your last downfall, if you will.
It's from focusing your sin. On the sin.
Yeah, not on the person grace, yeah. And what God has done. Because God doesn't need the amount of time that we do to get over something. His is instantaneous. As fast as we speak and repent and ask for the grace of the Lord on it, it's done. Mm-hmm. And he's moved on. He's forgotten it. We remember it. So then we want to remember it for the people so that we're reminded.
Make sure that you're still this way. He remembers all those things that, you know, that you used to do in your back life, even if you've tripped up again.
And to remember it from the church's perspective, when you're trying, especially if this is a person trying to get back into, not the body of Christ, because we're already there, but actually back into a congregation of people where you want to find love and acceptance. Those things are measures of your performance. Once again, it's become grace, or it's become sin conscious and works driven and not grace driven. So that's a tough one, but stay away from it. Let's not ask anybody about the time frame of God in their life as it pertains to a lifestyle that they've chosen to give to God and that he's called them out of.
By the way, if you're not familiar with terms like works and grace, you can stay tuned for our next few episodes where we really, really expound on the... Yeah. On the ideas of works and grace and really what they mean, because I know personally, not to divert from this too extremely, but I know that me being a person in the church, I was a Christian for 7 years before I understood what grace was. I was in neck deep in shame, guilt, and condemnation in the church and in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And it wasn't until I understood what grace was and started to really unpack it until God actually brought John into my life and was able to really minister to my life directly that I started to grasp and understand these concepts of like really being constantly washed by the blood of Christ, like what that really means.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that even while you are sinning, you are forgiven, and God is never ashamed or disappointed in you. That's grace, and we'll expound on that later. But yeah.
And it's not about performance. You know, we're not on stage for God. We're in life to live for God. And that's the exciting part. When you get to that point of grace. Mm-hmm. And so all of these questions that we're talking about too, remember, again, like we talked about earlier, point of grace to point of grace and nothing more from there. Mm-hmm. So what else would you like to know not to say?
What else not to say?
And or course. The topic within, well, let's just say it's just a conversation. I wouldn't ask somebody if they have a partner, a same-sex partner, because it's none of your business. If they don't tell you, don't ask.
Mm-hmm. Or if they're in a relationship.
With another person. Right. Yeah, don't do that, because it puts, again, the defensive walls come up. And the performance answer will be given. And the idea is we want to break down those walls so we're not performing and just saying the right things.
And to the genuineness and acceptance that Christ has for them. Because always remember, Christ accepts that person just as they are right now, as much as he accepts you. And accepted you before you accepted him.
Right. And I would say that another one is, are you going to stop doing what you were doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just driving a stake through the heart. That's a cruel question. Don't ask that anybody, because it's none of your business. That's between them and God. Once again, this is all about God, not you. And if you're put there to be a friend, then be a friend.
So I want to know, being in the youth ministry and for any other youth, youth ministers who are listening. So say I have a kid in my youth group or multiple kids, we'll just start off with one, who, you know, has been coming for a while. We're starting to develop kind of a little bit of a relationship. And then he or she comes up to me afterwards and decides to tell me that she's having same-sex thoughts and is really confused and doesn't know what to do, isn't sure whether she's quote-unquote gay or not, you know. So how do I handle that situation? What kind of questions do I ask and not ask to touch that kid's heart?
Well, that's a good way to look at it, because if they trust you, then they're going to tell you about it. So the fact that they're in front of you means that they trust you. If you don't know what to say thoroughly, then just give them a standard of love and let them know that Jesus loves them, and that although you don't have the answers right there, you'll get some answers, and that you might not be able to answer what they need right away, but if they're open to talking to other people or giving you an opportunity to get the resources together, that's what you could ask. You know, can I find some information? Can I help you with that? Let's assume that you know them well enough and that you do have some resources. Well, first of all, you encourage them, and you don't say anything about the law. And you don't use words like abomination and God hates. Those kinds of things are just crushing that person, whether it's a young adult, a child, or an adult. I mean, just think about what you just said. They are not an abomination. That's a lie. So please don't say that, and don't ask if they think they are. Mm-hmm. Ask them if it's just a thought or if it's gone further, if they're comfortable talking to you about that. Mm-hmm. And assuming that they are, again, we're going to take this to the kid who's being real open, then I think it's okay to ask to what level they've experienced the attraction. Mm-hmm. Have they taken it all the way to the sex act, which is in itself a sad commentary, because here you have, like in your case, Brandon, with the youth that you deal with under 18, they're not supposed to be running around sleeping with each other. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're even sexually involved with anybody is a sad commentary on their life and who's their influence. Mm-hmm. But I think you need to bring them to Free Indeed. I think you need to find out how to respond to that, because it's too hard for you to understand what they're going through, because you don't, because you're not feeling attracted. And it will be very hard for them to receive from you when they can tell that you don't know what to say, they will stop listening. That's when the wrong questions come out. Well, are you having sex with anybody? Who are they? And how old are they? Well, those are kind of questions that nobody's going to answer because they're afraid you're going to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very sensitive place to be.
Well, and one thing that I would say to emphasize on too is never ever crush or condemn that child for the thoughts they're having or for the behaviors that they may have carried out. Chances are you're not going to find out about it because right. you really don't know what they're doing, and usually they're in such a state of confusion and panic or this deep, deep wrestling that anything that you say that doesn't lead them to grace is going to be hurt, and it's going to be taken as law and crushing and religion and rejection.
Right. And saying, what do you think happened to you that caused this is a really bad question. Do not ask a child or even an adult at that for real. What do you think happened to you, as if something destructive happened?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know their past. You don't know if they didn't have a wonderful life, and this has just been a part of who they've been from the beginning of their knowledge of themselves.
And they have no idea. Usually, somebody at this stage of their life who is dealing with this attraction has no idea how they've come to understand these feelings.
Right.
And they don't understand these feelings, and it's scaring them.
And they've come to Christ. Remember, this is a conversation with somebody who knows the Lord or recognizes that they have a relationship with Christ. So they have now come to a point of, okay, I have these feelings, and I have Jesus, and I hear from the pulpit only a negative message. So am I a bad person? So remember what they're coming to you with. If anything, you can see, just assume there's brokenness from the pulpit to their walk with Christ. And I don't mean to condemn all preachers, because that's not true. But when they're hearing conversations about the act of sex and how bad that is in a context of what they're feeling, and you don't have any other context about even opposite sex or putting things in a moral way, it's just a condemning message.
Well, and then even the Christian who knows he's accepted Christ feels like God views him as an abomination.
Or something's wrong. Yeah. Like there's something not really loved by God.
Yeah, there's something wrong with me. God did this to me. God is a mean bully who is messing with me. So they're in a very, very delicate state.
Yeah. And I wouldn't ask, do you think God can heal you?
Don't say something like, God can heal you, or you know, right. You have victory over this. Because, I mean, yes, we have victory in Christ. But to a kid at that stage, they have no idea what that means. And until you can explain in a very loving and effective way on the nature and the dynamic of Christ's love for them in a graceful way, and the nature and dynamic of these thoughts, then you really don't have an understanding on how to effectively bring that kid to the love and grace of Christ.
Right, to that understanding of what victory means. And victory, I mean, who uses that word anymore much anyway, especially in a kid's life? But you also have to remember that if they don't see someone having experienced something good from God by becoming moral in this area and being able, that's what Free Indeed is all about. Brandon, you know that. That's what we brought this, you know, God gave us this because this is what we need to talk to people about. When we talk to people too much, did I hear what was wrong and the sin and the pain and the not going to be in the kingdom, not going to be in heaven, guaranteed to go to hell. These were guarantees. It's still there because, you know, as you know, when we talk to pastors, they want to know when we're going to condemn people. So let's bring the conversation again where you can't meet that person. That's why Free Indeed is here. Mm-hmm. We want you to bring them to us. Let them see the lives of people who have had the transformation, that who have experienced what God does when he puts the pieces in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
Because your conversation about what's wrong with it, or can you be healed? By the way, no one can be healed of sin. And the fact that they're same-sex attracted does not make them the sinner. The fact that we're in a fallen world, we're sinners, right? So that's just common to God. It's something God knows all about. He knows that they have it, but he also knows that he's provided a way. And now he's given you free indeed so that you can provide them with a tangible way to see the truth of what we're talking about.
Right. And of course, you know, you have the Holy Spirit too. You know, the people who are in this particular situation, you know, if you are a Christian, if you believe in the God of the Bible and have accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And if you turn control of your mouth over to him, he will direct you and lead you and guide you. And just like John said, more than likely will lead you to free indeed, because that's where we take over, where you can't.
Right, where you and we begin. And remember, they have the Holy Spirit too.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing in asking these kind of demanding questions is you're going to create an issue with them in their belief in Christ, because they will not be able to accept that God would question them that way. And then they have the Holy Spirit inside. They don't understand why they're not accepting what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brandon, that's where another place that people who want to do good for this person who's asking, they make this huge mistake. Because remember, just as you would receive a word and have to say, well, that doesn't feel right in my spirit, and you go to God with that, and he says, no, that's not good, get away from it. You may be that person in their life. You may be the one who says the wrong things. It affronts their spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, I don't want you near them. But out of a sense of fear and guilt and shame, they keep coming back to you. But really what's happening is you're just destroying their walk with Christ. And if they had known how to hear the Holy Spirit, which is what you should be teaching, they would have been able to say, God doesn't want me to talk to you anymore, person who cares, whether it's pastor, friend, or family. He wants me to go over here and find the information from him and not listen to you. Does that make sense? I mean, that's a really critical part of thinking.
Yeah.
You've got to remember they have a relationship with Christ, and you may be the affront to that.
Even if it's, you know, very, very early on and they don't understand a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, they may not be reaching out to you specifically because they aren't being led to. Which is kind of in a roundabout way leads to the next question, which is, when do I tell them that it's wrong? When do I tell them and point out in Scripture at a point where,
right,
where you know, that homosexuality is a sin before God? When do I do that? And I will directly answer that question. That shouldn't be even a question in your mind.
Right.
You should not worry about that, because if we remember, the Holy Spirit is the one who, you know, God's goodness leads us to repentance. And the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of
well, it's righteousness if we're still talking about the saved person.
Yeah, if we're talking about the saved person, the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness and says, you know, Your righteousness is the righteousness of God. Therefore, you know, deviant sexual behavior is unbecoming of you, in a sense.
Yeah, no matter what it is, that's what he's doing. He's not convicting you of sin. Sorry for all you people out there who believe that. Holy Spirit does not convict you of sin once you are born again. He convicts you of righteousness, which brings about what he wants you to recognize as an area of weakness in your life, or what we call sin, so that you can turn it over to him. So yes, the need for condemnation in the conversation is absolutely unnecessary. You don't, and here's another, don't ask him this, do you know what the Bible says about it? Because all they're going to know is the negativity, because that's what you're asking. Do you know how horrible it is?
That's often a common response. I hosted or spoke at a youth group one time, and we asked the kids, how would you minister to a kid at your high school? And the only response that we got that was, you know, direct, there was only one person who actually raised her hand. And she said, tell them what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we all know translates into that, you know, homosexuality is a sin, and that, and that, you know, thou shalt not lie with a man as with a woman, it's an abomination. And
so let's change the question. Here's the one that you should say. Do you know what the Bible says about you? Do you know what Jesus says about you? How precious you are.
And that's a great way to turn it around and turn it into, you know, Jesus loves you, absolutely. You are the righteousness of God. You are, you are, you know, your spirit is sanctified and holy before him.
Because of what Jesus did.
Because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, perfect sacrifice for our sins.
Right. So let's make the question that. Let's find out, because they're coming to you with the guilt and the shame and all of that. Don't ask somebody, well, if you did that, do you feel bad about it, or how do you feel about it? You don't need to know what they are experiencing emotionally out of what they've done or what they think they want to do. That's, again, those things come later with a balance of trust, excuse me, in your relationship with them. So we're going to keep the questions. Do you know what you mean to God and how precious you are? Do you know how much Jesus wants to help you and how much Jesus wants to love you and give you all that you need throughout all of life's issues? That this is only a part of you. This is only a thing that you have come to me to find out how to work through. So if you look at it that way, then it's way smaller than anybody thinks. And if you're not asking questions that make it bigger, and you're not condemning, which makes them feel smaller, and you basically then are puffing yourself up, then you can get through. And that's what we do at Free Indeed. You know that. We want to bring people into a safe place, a safe environment, so they can talk about how they're feeling and what they're doing and why things won't go away. Never ask somebody, well, can you just stop doing that? Or can you stop thinking about that? Why don't you just not do it and then you'll be okay? Well, why don't you just stop breathing and see if you're going to be okay? Because I assure you, you won't be. And at some point when your body can't handle it, you're going to explode just like that person would under their own will, in their own power. They have no power. And the Bible, you know, God, Jesus made that clear. If you give, let him do his job, his holy work in your life, you'll be okay. So in conclusion, I think I hope you got something out of this and that you understand that the questions should lead to how wonderful a person is, how blessed they are, how much God loves them, and let me get some more information because I don't quite have the answers. And then you have us at Free Indeed to turn to, and to be an active partner with you, to equip you, whoever you are, and to be an active partner in all ways of physical, spiritual, and mental growth so you don't ever feel alone.
So, why don't you go out and change someone else's mind about God?
Thank you for listening to Free Indeed Radio. Send us your prayer requests, comments, and suggestions to freeindeedco@gmail.com. We would love to hear how the Lord has touched your life and rejoice with you. Don't forget to sign up to follow us by email on the website and get our app from the Google Play Store. Free Indeed is listener-supported, and we invite you to come check out how you can support us through our website at www.freeindeedco.com. Free Indeed Ministries believes that your tithes belong to your local church, and we receive your donations as offerings to support the mission of Free Indeed, to advance the gospel of grace throughout the world. The Lord bless you as you go into your world and change someone else's mind about God.